Welcome to the Startup Addict Podcast. I'm Nick Swinburne. I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures. Regardless of the outcome, I'm still convinced there's nothing more addicting than trying to turn ideas into reality.
Welcome to Startup Addict Episode 17. And today we're going to be talking about licensing. I have no idea anything about licensing.
Spell it.
L. That's about it.
How do you spell license?
There's a couple of L-I-C-E-N-S-E.
That's good.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
When you said there's a couple of what? There's a couple of what?
E's S's.
In there?
S's in one X.
There's a couple S's.
Last time I remember.
They only listed one.
So how does licensing work? Can I get one? Please.
You might be able to. You might need it for Crooks and Goons.
Yeah, Crooks and Goons.
You can license out this audio.
Is there any progress? Has the brand taken on any form yet?
Not yet. I'm still trying to... I got to get more dollars. It's just hard to find matching dollars. I'm trying to keep the serial numbers the same, but it just takes
so
forever.
You'll have to make a decision. Sequential. There's only one of you, right? It's a one-person brand right now?
So far, just one crook.
Yeah. So you're going to be a crook.
I'm the crook. I need a goon, though.
So if you're going to be a goon, you might need to do a licensing deal for a goon.
Yeah. So I'll need a deal for a goon, yeah.
So the way a licensing deal works is basically you're just paying someone for the right to use their name or likeness or... put it on a product.
Yeah. I've got a number of those going right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For my own name.
You know how many gyms there are around the world? People work out every
day.
Four.
Yeah. No, just a couple.
So for us, for example, we have a dunk contest is primarily a licensing company, right? We started a brand. We picked a name based on something that we thought would, you know, create some imagery in someone's head. So it wouldn't be a made up word. They'd be like, oh, dunk contest, that means something. Hopefully, the hope was what it would mean to them was like bright, exciting, like the dunk contest, right? It's like the most exciting part of All-Star Weekend, or it used to be at least. And then the first thing we did was a licensing deal with Dominique Wilkins. So one of the greatest dunkers of all time.
How'd you get that?
That one, we had a... How did we do that? I was talking to a friend, Wynn, and he reached out to... He knew someone who knew someone who knew Dominique. So he made the introduction to his business manager. And then through them, you know, we said, hey, we want to create... We've got this brand called Dunk Contest. We want to create hats and shirts with Dominique's, you know, name or... Not his likeness, but his name on there. So we had human highlight film shirts. We had his signature, so we took his signature and turned it into a graphic and put it on the back of hats or the back of t-shirts.
Had he trademarked the human highlight film?
I'm not sure. Hmm. I probably checked at the time, but I'm not sure now. I believe he did. We also did one with Jason Richardson, who also won a couple of dunk contests, and on the Warriors We Believe team, one of the big fan favorites. And so we figured out we got a brand called Dunk Contest. We've got licensing deals with these guys. So the way the licensing deal worked was we paid them both a lump sum up front, and then that counted. That gave us a year. So for 1 year, we could use their name and likeness, and then we would give them reports on how much we sold. And I don't remember exactly what it was worked out, but if there was, you know, say it was like going to be, I don't know, 10% of sales or something.
Yeah.
So 10% of the items that had their name on it, we basically were paying them in advance for. And so when that number, if that number exceeded 10,000, then we would owe them more money. If it was less than that, we still owed them 10,000 no matter what. We paid it up front.
So you break them into like, what is it? Like if it gets in certain tier or levels, and then you adjust accordingly.
Yeah, okay. You're basically prepaying like against the future sales. The challenge with this was as soon as they had the idea for dunk contest, it was like we need to do licensing deals with, like, you know, famous dunkers. And so we reached out to these guys, did the deal, and then the brand, we got busy with other things, so we didn't launch it at first. And when we signed a deal, then we signed it based on 12 months. So the business manager, they both had the same business manager they had at the time. Jason's one, we were introduced to someone else, and then... Oh no, I met him at a Warriors game. at halftime, ran into him, and I was like, hey, I think it was Jason Richardson tonight. And so I brought a jersey to get signed, and I was like, hey, I got this, you know, I got this this idea we're working on. Who should I talk to about doing a licensing deal? So he's like, I'll call my buddy or my business, whatever it was. So I got introduced to a guy who was like helping him filter deals, I guess. But he also had a real business manager. So that guy then passed it on to his business manager. So indirectly, it was actually random. That it turned out the person who actually was in charge of it was the same person that was doing Dominique Wilkins. But we didn't know that at the time. So we got started. We designed these shirts. And part of the deal was like they would come out and do a photo shoot. And it was based on 12 months. And so we said, okay, well, it took us a while. Maybe it took us, I don't know, a month or so to get up the original designs going. And then we got busy on other things. So just time kind of went by. And we kept thinking, well, we'll launch it soon. Started working on the website. We'll launch it soon. We'll launch it soon. You know, kind of kept dragging on. And then at some point we thought, no, let's do the Warrior Store as dunk contest. And let's do these other things. And so we thought, let's wait then until we're ready. And so the first people we were talking to, they were very, you know, they had been through the whole process of the deal. So they understood, they were the first people we talked to. And so, hey, we're a little delayed. And it was kind of an informal, that's okay. Yeah, if you guys get a late start, we'll just extend the 12-month period. Mm-hmm. And then Dominique came out here. We did a photo shoot. And then Jason Richardson, they just kept saying, he'll come out soon. And he came out a couple times during that he'll be out soon period, but we just kind of hear that from seeing him at Warriors, like seeing him on TV or hearing that he was doing another appearance. So we had trouble getting that photo shoot down. So there's all these little distractions and hiccups and we'll wait. So by the time we actually got around to launching the brand, we were only a couple months away from the end of our original 12-month period. And so we started selling the stuff, and then we reached out and we said, hey, it took us a lot longer to launch the brand, like, you know. And it was someone else now. I don't remember it, but it had changed slightly, whoever the person was we were speaking to. Mm-hmm. I think the guy we were talking to left. And so there was a new person at the company that was handling it. They're like, okay, no problem. I mean, you know, we'll just need to do a new deal. And it was like, no, but we did a deal. And they're like, yeah, but it was for 12 months. Yeah, but we were saying along the whole time, like, hey, we didn't actually get started. We haven't been doing it. We haven't sold anything. We haven't been promoting it at all. That's fine. No big deal. But that was for those 12 months. So if you want to, you know, we're totally down to do another 12 months, but let's just pay again. So that was one of those things where we're like, okay, well, we already paid. So we decided that we didn't think at that point, because now we're kind of like shifted our focus a little bit. We didn't think that it was worth paying twice for something.
Yeah.
We didn't really blame them. I mean, technically, according to the letter of the document, it was true. We had 12 months from the date the deal was signed. Mm-hmm. I don't actually think it was 12 months from the date the deal was signed. I think it was like 12 months from this slightly forward date, but it just ended up taking a long time. And so the lesson learned there was two things. One, yeah, just, you know, reach out. Like when I was a kid, I would, you know, TBS, there was no cable. I mean, there was cable, but it was limited, right? So I had TBS. So you just basically watched your local games, or you could watch the Hawks. You could watch the Bulls on WGN. So I just loved Dominique Wilkins. And I had a VHS tape of they had a special on there called like the Human Highlight Film, and it just showed all his in-game dunks and everything. And I would just carry that VHS tape around everywhere. So for me, it was amazing that we were sitting in the warehouse with Dominique Wilkins sitting there shooting the shit, taking pictures of him, right? Yeah. That was pretty awesome. So it made me think, hey, well, how'd this happen? Well, we just tracked him down and reached out, you know, and proposed something. And then the second lesson was you gotta have a realistic timeline. Otherwise, you create situations like that where we were kind of just, we were still figuring out what the plan was, but we signed a deal during the course of figuring out the plan, and the plan took a lot longer. So we didn't have realistic expectations for them of when how long we would actually need to sell, because we didn't know ourselves.
So what are some of the parameters you put together for the licensing? So is it like I can only sell shirts, hats, or signature?
So generally say you'll say which categories you want to license for, and they'll tell you if they already have one that's exclusive or one they don't think makes sense. And then you have the option of like, or the option that you can either, you know, there's different ways. You could just use their name, you could use their name as the brand. You could use their name on a product. You could use their image. Those are kind of the different things. Or you could just, you know, ask for all of it on anything. And then if it's an athlete, even if you get a license to use their image, that doesn't mean you have the license to use their image with them wearing a uniform. So then you'd have to either go to the league as well.
So what would they be wearing?
So like, that's why you see a lot of commercials where the guys are wearing like
jerseys, or
yeah, like a Warrior would be wearing just a blue jersey with a yellow stripe. And it's kind of clear that you see that all the time with baseball
and a shirt. And I was like, well, that's extra.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you start looking for it, you'll see it a lot. Yeah. Like they're just wearing like
look at the Alaska Airlines ads that are out right now with Kevin Durant. They got all, he's wearing all white.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's funny.
So you won't have the Warriors on. So then you'd have to either go to the Warriors and try to get a license as well, or you'd have to go to, I'm not sure. I think depending on what you could go to Getty Images and license an image for, just pay whatever the rate is for whatever you want to use it for. But then I think even then, if you're using it for profit, I think they'll only license you the image if you get a letter from the player or the league in there saying it's okay.
So it's the person you license, and then if you want the person in the Warriors, let's say Warriors outfit, you license with the Warriors and the person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
So that was then. So then from there we had these guys, and then we said, we went through the process of talking to the Warriors about, let's open a Warriors store and call it Dunk Contest. And so we did that. And then that gave us the right. So now we have a licensing deal with the Warriors where we can use their name in association with the store and say it's an official Warriors store. So we basically, in exchange for that, we pay them a percentage of sales of the store. But that's just to say the store is a Warriors store. That doesn't give us the right to create products that say Warriors. So then we go to the league and we got a license for apparel. We actually thought it was for men's, women's, and kids' apparel. And so that's what we made the first year. And then at the end of the first year, they're like, what are you guys doing making kids' stuff? You're not supposed to be making kids' stuff. And technically not supposed to be making women's stuff, but we'll let you make the women's stuff, but not the kids. So we had to go to them. We had to pay a license to them for every item we sold that had that said Warriors on it. And there's a process. So then they send you all their graphics. You can create items, and then you send it to them for approval. And if they approve it, then you can begin to produce it and sell it. And then we also wanted to make posters, because in the past we'd made like these illustrated posters that we'd sold to the Warriors to sell at Warriors games. And we said we want to do that more often, but we want to have the real players in it. And so we got a license to be able to use Warriors players in posters, but that then triggered another license. So now you had to pay the NBA license, but we also had to pay for posters. We had to also pay the Players Association. Now, when we did the deal the first year, the NBA controlled or ran the Players Association licensing for them. And then after the first year, the Players Association took control of their own licensing back from the NBA because their deal expired. So now we had to send a report and pay to the league, and then separately to the Players Association, but that was only for posters. So for the league, we had to pay a royalty and send reports for apparel that said Warriors and posters that said Warriors. And then the Players Association, we had to send a report for posters that had the players on it. And then Dominique Wilkins, Jason Richardson, we had to pay the players. And then after that first year, we said, okay, this is pretty cool. Why don't we add some teams?
That's what Nick concluded after all that. He's like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
This is a lot of fun.
So what part do you start making money? Yeah.
No, so then we added the Kings and the Lakers. And so now we had a license to make...
The Sacramento Kings?
Yeah, we had a license to make products for apparel for men and women for the Sacramento Kings and the LA Lakers. So that's when we opened a store in LA to use for that. But we didn't have a license. We didn't have a partnership with the Lakers. We just had a license from the NBA. So the store is not an official Lakers store. It's just a store that sells Lakers gear, which then we got a letter from the Lakers to the NBA because the Lakers thought someone had opened up a fake Lakers store, and then the league had to tell them no, they have a license for apparel, and they're not saying it's a Lakers store. So it was confusing. So the lesson learned from all that was A, it was fun. You know, it's cool to be like
sounds yeah. it. No, it's,
so the far start, it's fun. Like, it's cool to be able to make officially licensed products, because now it kind of validates your brand, right? Like, the Dunk Contest brand was using official Warriors logos. It was like an official Warriors brand. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that Dunk Contest store is owned by the Warriors. So in a way, it gives you credibility and kind of kickstarts you. The downside is all the payments you have to make to everyone. So for us, we had to, every time we sold something in the store, we had to pay the Warriors. And these are like double digit percentages, right? So we have to make the product, then we have to pay the Warriors. So we make a Warriors t-shirt with the Warriors logo on it. We sell it in the store. We pay the Warriors, then we pay the league, and then whatever's left, hopefully, is the difference between what we paid for it and what we've paid out. And then, so the challenge there is, if you're making your own stuff and selling it, say you're selling a shirt for $25 and you're making it for like $10 or $5, whatever.
Yeah.
In theory, that's good margins, right? It's better to make your own than to buy it from someone else. So you buy it from someone else for $12.50 and sell it for $25, or you make your own for, say, $6 and sell it for $25. You make more money. Except if you have all these licensing things on top of it, then all of a sudden, even selling a licensed product is no better than if you just bought someone else's licensed product and sell it. Then the differentiator becomes, well, you can't get it anywhere else. So that was our thought process. Okay, well, you still can't get it anywhere else. And then the second thing that came up with licensing is the approval process. So you have to, no one's going to just say, hey, here's a license, pay me X percent of whatever you sell and sell whatever the fuck you want. Right? They want to control. If they've gotten to the point where they have a licensing program, then they're very concerned with their brand image, and they've got a system in place to make sure that no one represents it wrong.
And rightfully so. I mean, like,
yeah.
You could just put whatever you want, right? It would be awful.
Yeah. So our original thought was we'd have a lot of phrase shirts, like sayings and phrases, and as throughout the season, maybe a commentator would say something, a player would say something, and we could sell shirts like that with the Warriors on it. And then we found out when we did our first submissions the first year, we submitted a bunch of shirts with phrases on them that we thought would do well. And they said, hey, do you have the trademark for all these phrases? And we're like, no, we just thought of them. Like, what are the trademark? Okay, well, if you want to, before
that's
you,
another one.
If you want to, yeah, if you want to submit anything to us for approval that has text that's not just Golden State Warriors, then you need to have your attorney do a trademark clearance search or have the trademark. So a clearance search would cost us around $1,000. So also, it's like, well, we're not going to spend $1,000 on each shirt before we've even gotten it approved to see if we can possibly get it approved. So we said, so forget sayings, let's not do that. So instead, what we did was we said, okay, what are a few collections we could put together? We'll spend the money on the clearance search, and then we'll find phrases that we think we could create collections. So there'll be a Warriors, what did we do? Like loyal to the loud, right? Like, the crowd's always been loud, and so the brand and the Warriors were kind of saying, like, we're loyal to the loud. So we did a trademark search. It came back, there was nothing conflicting at the USPTO. So we then applied for the trademark, and we got the trademark. So now that was okay. We submitted that documentation. They said, okay, you can use loyal to the loud on shirts next to the Warriors logo. All right, cool. So then we came up with supervillains, and what was the other one? Supervillains, and what was the one similar to supervillains? Oh, Super Death Lineup. Mm-hmm. So we got the trademark for both of those, which was shocking. We didn't think we were going to get the trademark for supervillains.
Yeah.
Actually, we got that later. But we did the search, and the clearance search said we'd have a chance of getting it. So we submitted that, and they said, hey, even though the search is okay, we don't want our players referred to as villains or as the Super Death Lineup. And so we didn't make those things. I mean, we kind of made up supervillains in a way. Super Death Lineup was a phrase that a reporter coined and said, because they used to have the Death Lineup. Mm-hmm. So what they would call it when they put Iguodala instead of a center. So when they signed Kevin Durant, someone said, I guess now this is the Super Death Lineup. So we're like, oh, okay, cool. Super Death lineup. That'll be a good collection. And then Super Villains was, I don't know if it was a headline or something red, and it was like, oh, Super Villains. That'd be cool.
Didn't Steve say that? Didn't Steve Kerr say that the first time?
I don't remember how it was. Maybe he said the Super Villains, but it, I remember going back and trying to find the article.
Well, even before then, remember, it was Full Squad. That's what I remember from back in the day.
Yeah, Full Squad was when...
David Lee.
David Lee made a comment to a reporter, Jordan Ramirez, had said, like... he said, like, something about...
He was talking about Bogut. Wasn't he? He was talking about how Bogut had been injured, and it was, like, the first time he'd come back
in forever. Oh, yeah, the first time they'd had the Full Squad.
And he's like, Full Squad. This is our first time with the Full Squad, right?
Yeah, and so...
Like, Jordan, Full Squad?
So we met with David Lee, and he wanted to make a brand around Full Squad. So we sat down, we made a design, we started selling it. We did a... it wasn't really a licensing deal. We just kind of put together a deal with them. But that was one of the first ones. So we thought, okay, and there's legs to sometimes to some of these sayings, right? Mm-hmm. And so we figured, let's do that. So not only can we, A, we have to do an expensive search to figure out if we can use a term. B, they have to decide if they like the term in association with their brand.
Yeah.
This is the league deciding. So what they came back with for Super Death lineup and Super Villains was no. We don't like that. And it was like, fuck, okay. So then we liked it so much that we just made shirts that didn't have the Warriors logo that said Super Villains.
So did none of the Super Death lineup stuff have the Warriors logo on it?
No, neither of those had the Warriors logo on it.
Which, by the way, those designs are fucking sick.
Yeah. So then we said, okay, well, we won't sell shirts with the Warriors logo, but we'll still sell... we can still sell Super Villains and Super Death lineup shirts at the Warriors arena. But then the Warriors came back and said, oh, we don't want to be referred to as villains or Super Death lineup. No, I think they allowed Super Death lineup at the arena, but they wouldn't do Super Villains. The reason they allowed Super Death lineup is because they said, hey, one of our beat writers coined the phrase, and that's fine. Like, the fans have adopted it. Super Villains, this was before the season, so we did Super Villains. So then we show up one day and we get a call from the Warriors because a bunch of the players are wearing Supervillain shirts. So we had made the Supervillain shirt, and then underneath we just wrote Dunk Contest. And the Warriors had told us, no, we can't sell that at the arena. We said, okay. And then we can still sell it at the store. And then the players showed up. All of a sudden they started showing up on pictures and stuff and interviews wearing these Supervillains, exact same Supervillains graphic that we'd designed.
Yep.
But instead of saying Dunk Contest underneath, it had the Warriors logo. So the Warriors call, and they're like, what the fuck? I thought we told you guys no. and then the league later said, hey, are you guys we didn't approve Supervillains to be used next to a Warriors logo. We're like, we didn't do it. They're like, we've seen pictures. We're like, it wasn't us. So basically what happened was the team, from what I understand, the team's equipment manager got one of the Supervillain shirts we've made. And he thought they were cool. And I guess the players or the coach or someone thought they were cool. So they then took the graphic, copied it, and made their own shirt just for the team and basketball operations staff and passed it out to them. It would have been easier if they just called and said, hey, can you make a shirt with the logo? Yeah. But they did it that way. So while it was kind of frustrating because it was like, wait a minute, the league won't let us do this and the team won't let us sell it at the arena, but the players and the coaches are like making their own shirts because they like it so much. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So then... it was still good for us, right? Because fans would see the Supervillains and they'd be like, oh, that's Dunk Contest shirt, and they'd buy the one without the logo. And then and then Steph Curry had a party, like a team party at the beginning of the season, and he got a bunch of balloons and put spelled out Supervillains with a team photo. And then his Snapchat filter was the same graphic from the t-shirt, the exact same Supervillains graphic which we created. So then it started going crazy, and everyone's like, holy shit.
Where's that shirt?
The player, they're using your graphic. Like, this is awesome. But we're like, what the hell? And so I was in L.A. during maybe a month into the season. The Warriors were playing, I don't remember if it was Lakers or the Clippers, but I was staying in the same hotel as the players, and I was in the gym, and I see a couple of the coaches. And I'm wearing, we had created a whole little collection of Supervillain shirts, mine wasn't the normal one, but it had this basketball player and it said Supervillains. And one of them was wearing a Supervillains t-shirt.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's a cool shirt. And he's like, oh, thanks. Like, he goes, oh, yeah, we made them. And I was like, yeah, look at my shirt. And they're all, oh, shit, you have a Supervillain shirt too? And he's like, check out this guy's shirt. He's got a supervillain shirt too. And I'm like, I don't know if you guys know, but like the shirt you guys are wearing, someone took our shirt and copied it and made it. And they're like, nah. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, that's cool.
We're so the Warriors. Who cares?
But they kept wearing them, right? So we weren't mad. Like, we were like, hey, I don't care. You can make as many, you know, shirts as you want because it's good for us. It's getting publicity. But it was like, so what it realized is like, man, you're limited by so many random things. A perfect storm for us of creating our own Warriors stuff would have been that the players would have all started wearing the shirt. The coach would have started wearing the shirt. The players would have a party where our shirt graphic was the Snapchat filter. All that happened. But we weren't allowed to it wasn't like we weren't allowed to make it official Warriors thing. So, you know, we figured like we didn't make sense to me. Like the Warriors, I was like, at one point the PR guy was like, well, I guess if all the players keep wearing it, maybe we'll, I think it was basically, you know, I don't know if it was the Bob general manager or team president. Someone just was like, I think it's a slippery slope to start letting our players be referred to as villains.
You went round and round and round with them and round. And yeah. I mean, this went on for a long, long time.
What's it like getting angry email from the NBA? Are they usually angry or are they usually like civil?
Well, you know how the emails always sound.
They sound angrier, but.
Yeah, like you read an email how you interpret it. So you get an email being like, hey, we need to talk tomorrow about this. And you think like,
holy
shit.
You're
reading it like they're saying, hey, fuckhead, we need to talk tomorrow about this. And then like.
You dipshit.
Yeah. And then you'd, when they get on the phone the next day, they'd be like, hey, not a big deal, but we saw this thing, blah, blah, blah. So they were actually always really nice. But the problem was, we realized, is like you can't be this creative brand that has all these like limits on what's allowed and what's not allowed. And you can't be. It's hard economically if you're paying multiple. Like, if we wouldn't have a Warrior store, we would only be paying the NBA. And if we just had the store and we didn't get a license to make our own stuff, we'd only be paying the Warriors. But the way we did it, we're basically paying everyone for everything.
So when you say pay, it's like cash advance, or do you pay them directly, or is it like royalty? Like, you give them
a cash advance. So say, for example, they said, okay, we're going to charge you we're going to charge you 20% of everything you sell. In exchange for doing a deal with us, right? And then say the other person says, we're going to charge you 15% of everything you sell in exchange for doing a deal with us. So now we have two people. And so basically everything we sell, we're paying 35% out to someone else. So the challenge there is it doesn't leave a whole lot of money for marketing or spending money to like grow the brand. It barely, you know, by the time you make the product and you absorb the stuff that doesn't sell, right? Because you're not going to sell every single thing.
Yeah.
It kind of makes it tough. And so in our situation, we just figured, well, it's worth it because, like, the Warriors, for example, will be promoting us, right? And so.
So it's almost like you're paying for promotion other stuff.
It's like you're paying for promotion where they're not required to promote it, right? Like, you're an official Warriors team store.
Like a crappy marketer.
Yeah. No, like they did stuff, but it's not like they're going to go out of their way. I mean, because they have a lot of people paying a lot of money for things, right? So if they add us to the website and they say, here's our three official Warriors team stores. Yeah. One of them is Dunk Contest in Burlington. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Anyone going to the website looking for the official team store, they're directing to us. Or say they have some excess inventory during the game. So they say, hey, you know what? We've got an extra scoreboard ad during the game. We're going to give Dunk Contest a shout out. That's great. Anyone at the game who sees it. But it's not the same as like, we couldn't really say like, hey, on this day, can you promote the crap out of this or the crap out of that? And then they also have a third party that runs their official Warriors team store. So there's a little bit of misalignment there because it didn't really make sense for them to promote our website because it was taking people away from the website that their big retail partner runs. Mm-hmm. It's like warriorsteamstore.com. So then it came this like gray area where it's like, we can't really shout you out on social media. We definitely can't send links because like it's kind of fucked up to our other partner who's paying us a lot more money to be promoting another store where they don't get anything out of it. So we did that. And then with the Kings and the Lakers, the Kings, we just kind of decided when we added the Kings to the deal, we had a location in Sacramento that we thought would be perfect for a Dunk Contest store right across street from the new arena. So we figured that's a no-brainer. Well, the license wasn't as expensive as the Warriors. This is after the first season with the Warriors, before season two. So it was with the Warriors, we had a two-season deal for the Dunk Contest store and also for the with the NBA for the Warriors license. So after the first season, we asked the NBA if we could add the Kings and the Lakers. That got tricky for two reasons. One, well, we thought we found a spot across from the arena, but then it wasn't going to be ready until February or March. Well, the season starts in fucking October and ends in April for the Kings.
Yeah.
Right? So we're like, shit, well, that's not going to work. But we were assuming that we were going to find something right there, so we'd already agreed to do the license. The Lakers, we found a store on Melrose in L.A., so that was good. Neither of the teams were expected to have great years last year, but we just kind of figured the Lakers has a huge fan base. Visually, their colors and graphics are cool.
They had this pretty cool kid named Alonzo Ball we thought was really going to blow up.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah. And then we figured, hey, we knew that after the next season they were going to, you know, be big free agent players. So maybe we could get in there, get some credibility with Laker fans, so it didn't seem like on the off chance they got LeBron or someone that we just jumped on afterwards. So we're like, let's try that. And it was in California, so it was close by.
Yeah.
So what happened there was with the Kings, we didn't open the store. We did an event, a pop-up shop with Sac Republic, who were great. And we had De'Aaron Fox out there, and it was a good turnout, but it wasn't anything consistent. And one of the things we realized is like not all, I mean, the Warriors is a little bit of an anomaly how popular they are merch wise, the Lakers too. So anyways, we got to the end of those deals all ended at the end of this season, which just ended a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So now we have to decide, what do we do? So the hunch is it doesn't make sense really to do these licensing deals, but the challenge once you go down the path of licensing is like, so the good news is you don't have to build your brand on your own, right? More people found us because it was Warriors stuff and then thought Dunk Contest was cool than they would have found Dunk Contest if it was just Dunk Contest and the only thing they would have to like us for is Dunk Contest. So we got a lot of sales and credibility and stuff because we were associated with the Warriors. But the problem is now we're almost like a sub-brand of the Warriors. So like, the Warriors are bigger than Dunk Contest. And we're not even the Warriors' only store partner or licensing partner.
Yeah.
So in a way, it limits you to like, you're kind of stuck where you're like, well, there's all these rules around us, but like, we are what we are because we're associated with these teams, right? It's like Zappos back in the day was, it wasn't licensing deals, but like, I always kind of thought it was cheating. Like that's why I always wanted to start a brand, was because you got people weren't searching for Zappos. They were searching for Adidas or Kenneth Cole or those kind of things. And then we were then hijacking those customers and saying, hey, if you're looking for a fucking Adidas, get over here. We got free returns, free shipping, great selection, blah, blah, blah. So I guess that's why licensing was appealing to me, because I saw that like leveraging other people's brands was much more efficient than trying to create buzz about your own brand. Because when you start a brand, nobody gives a shit. Nobody knows about it. Nobody cares. Whereas these other brands have already spent a whole bunch of time and money getting to the point where people care about them.
So would you say that the NBA or dealing with licensing in a sporting team is way more complicated than, let's say, getting a license for Adidas?
No, because it's not a license for Adidas. So Adidas, Adidas, all you're saying is like, hey, I'm going to buy this. Let me buy this.
Yeah.
And then, now I've bought it, now I can tell people I have it. Or now, you know, obviously online, people are searching for Adidas, I can be one of the places that pops up. So
licensing, I guess, for shoes, if you were actually take the Adidas name and then made your own shoe, that
would be the equivalent, yeah.
Equivalent.
But you can't do.
Because
Adidas is a brand, so they wouldn't let Adidas, if you're, like, usually a brand won't license out its core competency. I mean, they might. Like, some of them do. I guess some of them do, but, like, then it's just the one. They won't do it to multiple people. Like, so I think, like, Pony is or Fila, one of those two became a licensing deal. But they're still the only person that can make them is the person that has the license.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have a bunch of people making shoes at once. So that was the Dunk thing. So now we're just trying to, you know, figure that out. What do we do? Like, it was a 2-year deal. All the deals were aligned on purpose. That was a 2-year deal. With the league, with the Warriors, with the warehouse, with the stores. So it's kind of like, what do we, now it's decision time, basically. Like, is it worth, given all the rules and parameters, is it worth continuing?
Mm.
Or is it better to stop. And the other challenge there is then more of like a personal challenge, like all the normal challenges of business. Like, do you listen to your brain or your gut or your ego, you know? And all those things tug at you, right? There's clear reasons to say, hey, don't do this anymore. Yeah. It was a fun 2 years.
Give me five more years of this.
By and large, it was you know, it had its successful parts and it had its challenges, but the thing that's not going to change are the economics. The only way the economics change is if you decide to not have any licenses, which is doable, but then you have to then invest in really building up what is dunk contests without the Warriors license.
Like Crooks and Goons.
Yeah, Crooks like and Goons.
You got to build it up from the ground up kind of thing.
Yeah, so that's the challenge. And then it also gets complicated when there's parts that you really like, but then you have to figure out, well, for us at least, it's always like, is it a project? Is it a business? What is it? Or if there's parts of it we like, is that part worth spending X amount of dollars on? And sometimes it's not even the money. Lately, it's more been about the time.
Yeah.
Right. So
sounds like a lot of time to fill out all that paperwork, emails, and
well, also even like creating all the designs and doing all that stuff, doing the warehouse, stocking the store, merchandising the store, creating the ads, doing the photo shoots. It's all a lot of work. So everyone obviously has to do that, but you have to make, you know, have to make a decision on what's the upside of all that time spent on that? And then how much time is it taking away from other projects?
Yeah.
You know, are you going to end up with three projects that you half-assed? You know, that kind of thing. Well, I guess you'd have two that you could have three things that you half-ass. Right? You couldn't just have half of three things, but you could half-ass three things.
Good third asset.
Yeah. So
I feel like you're telling me a couple things. One, I might be able to get a good deal on a couple Sacramento t-shirts, maybe.
Yes.
Those Fox shirts are pretty hot, y'all. And the Sacrifice shirts are still hot, too.
If I was a betting man, I'd say there's going to be a big sale coming up.
And I think, the takeaway is I want to be the person who's holding that 15, 20% and having you do all the work.
That sounds like a good way to make money.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the allures of either creating a... Sorry, I'm getting attacked by a dog. It's one of the allures of either creating a personal brand for yourself, like as these influencers or celebrities or athletes, or creating, you know, doing the work to create a brand in one category. One of the benefits of that is if you do it well enough, then people will come to you and pay you just to be associated with you, or just be able to use your name, or take your brand and use it in a different category.
Yeah.
I think I remember someone telling me once, like, the money's not really in creating the apparel brand. The money's in creating the apparel brand that has enough cachet that then you get licensing deals for watches and fragrances and shoes and all this other shit.
They talk about those things all the time on Shark Tank. You know, someone comes with an idea, and one of the first things they go, oh, shoot, can we license that out with, you know. And Cuban's on there, so it's like with the NBA or with XYZ or whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They can make a lot of money that way.
Yeah, so that's the... Hold on one second. I gotta grab this dog.
It's no different than music, though. Like, if you put together a piece of music and, you know, you can license that out to, like, fucking God knows who. Like
Prince. I mean, Prince was writing so much music and making tons of money.
Right.
Yeah. It's licensing out to, like, fucking car commercials and, like, fucking Hot Pocket commercials and put him on...
Yeah, I always love those bands. They're like, we're not going to sell out. And then like 10 years later, they're like on a Chevy ad. And you're like, what, you know, what happened, right?
What the fuck?
Money talks.
Hollow notes.
Right, I'm back. I locked the dog out.
How did licensing stuff work with MMA?
Because
that's your licensing, I guess you dealt with UFC or...
So licensing, so we had two things, right? So we had, at first you would... It was more, you looked at it more as sponsorships, but in essence, it was licensing.
Yeah.
So you would have some deals where you'd say, hey, I'm gonna pay you per fight. So Dennis, you're about to fight. I know you're gonna walk out from the locker room to the octagon on TV. Back in the day, the UFC showed that during the broadcast. So there was a lot of publicity especially in the heyday of MMA back in the day when the ratings were crazy, of having someone walk out wearing your t-shirt, right?
Yeah.
A, it's on TV or pay-per-view. B, it's like a famous fighter wearing it. So it kind of validates it that way. So the most basic level, you would just sponsor them. So you'd say, hey, I'm going to pay you X dollars to wear this Dethrone shirt.
Yeah.
And then they would wear it, and that was their obligation, was to wear it into the ring, and then they were done. And then the second kind of deal would be like, hey, I'm gonna pay you to wear the shirt, and I also want that to include a photo shoot. So now it's like they just wear the shirt for the one fight, but as part of the deal, they also have to take some pictures in the shirt, and they give you the right to use those pictures. Depends. Some guys wasn't a big deal, and they just do what you want with it.
Yeah.
And some guys were more like, no, you have the right to use this as long as you continue to sponsor me. So if you don't sponsor me for my next fight, you can't continue to use pictures of me in that shirt.
Yeah.
And those are just shirts that say Dethrone. Then the third one is you'd say, okay, I want to make a shirt with your name on it. So I want to make the Dennis Rodriguez Dethrone walkout shirt. So that now you're basically saying, okay, how much? So I'm paying you. And back in those days, at least for us, it wasn't like separate deals. Like, here's a sponsorship deal, here's a licensing deal. It was just kind of like incorporated into the price. It was just understood, like, we're going to pay more. And maybe some guys would be like, okay, here's how much you're going to pay me. And then every shirt you sell with my name on it, I want X dollars, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you'd kind of just figure out, okay, for how long? Like, until the next fight or however long. And so in that regard, you're not only using him as a billboard, but you're also using his name on products you're selling to people. And then the other way was, which you would kind of do with guys you thought had a lot of potential or would have the most publicity, would you try to commit to a longer deal. So maybe it'd be, in MMA it was generally, if you did a year deal, you'd probably pay them a monthly per month. You'd probably pay them each month.
Yeah.
Right? So you'd agree about a dollar amount for the year. You'd divide it by 12. You'd pay that every month. And it was usually included three fights. So usually it was the greater of three fights or 12 months. And that was because it's not like a traditional sport where you know they're going to be playing on this day, and this day.
Yeah.
All you know usually is when their next fight is. But then anything can happen in that one, right? They could be injured for a year. They could win and fight 8 weeks later. They could win and fight 6 months later. They could lose and fight. There's so many different variables.
Yeah.
And they don't control it either. They're kind of up to the UFC to tell them when to fight. But so in those scenarios, you're basically saying, okay, here's let's commit to each other for a year. We'll do a photo shoot. You'll wear our shirts when you fight. And your shorts or whatever. We'll create shirts with your name on it. And then in some cases, we would even make like logos for the guys or put their signatures on it, right?
Yeah.
So again, the good news was for Dethrone, like we started, that was how Dethrone became known, because we picked a bunch of fighters, some of them known and some of them that we knew were about to be known. So they're more affordable because they hadn't fought or broken out of stars yet, but you just gambled on them and thought, fuck it, let's do a year, because from everything we've seen and been told, you're about to be a big star. And then, so you got that brand association, right? So if you could pick exciting, likable guys, then that made your brand seem like an exciting, likable guy. And we, in the beginning, we were kicking ass. Like we probably, I would say the first 20 fights where people wore Dethrone.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two of them lost. So it seemed like this thing where it's like everyone that fucking wears Dethrone wins. Like
I remember Kane wore it.
Yeah, it was Connor, crazy.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if the original guys we signed, the original group of guys we signed that were, they weren't unknown, but they weren't like as known as they would become. We had
a bunch of champions in there.
Yeah, we had Cain Velasquez, Ben Henderson, Jose Aldo, Nick Diaz, Gilbert Melendez. I think Gilbert we sponsored. He might have already been the champion in Strikeforce. And Nick might have been as well. We'd sponsored Nate, but that was with Stagger. And I'm probably forgetting something, but we had, at one point it was like you had three UFC champions and like two Strikeforce champions when Strikeforce was coming up there all wearing Dethrone. So it was great, right? Yeah.
But I'm assuming their price would go up.
And then, well, so the challenge was you do these year deals and then the brand would kind of become associated with them. So with Kane, for example, he was unknown other than to like hardcore MMA fans who'd heard like, oh, there's this guy who's just killing everyone in the gym.
Yeah.
And then by the time, so we did a year, and then we renewed it right before the third fight, extended it for six fights, whatever it was. And then, but during the course of this time, he beats Brock Lesnar and wins the heavyweight championship.
Yeah.
So now he's huge. And to a lot of people, that he was like the, you know, the biggest, he was like their introduction to Dethrone because they're watching Kane fight. So a lot of people thought Dethrone was Kane's brand, or he somehow
I thought it was, when I saw it, yeah.
Yeah, and so it was good and bad. So it was like hard. Well, that was a hard one because at the end of the second year, it's like, and he'd been injured at one point, you know, so it'd been a long, it was more than 2 years by the time we got through the six fights. But it was like hard personally, right? He felt bad going out. Other brands are now throwing a lot more money at him. And he kind of felt guilty about it, but also wanted as much money as possible.
Yeah.
So he would kind of say, hey, here's what we're getting offered. If you match it, we'd love to stay with you. And we're saying, dude, like, yeah, I mean, no, of course, you should go get as much money as you can. But at the same time, you should be loyal to us and take a little bit less because we don't have as much money as some of these brands and blah, 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 blah. And so we didn't know what would happen because now we picked all these guys and we thought we'd spread it out pretty well. But Kane just took off like a fucking rocket and like was way more popular than all the other guys. And so now it was like, we're kind of like, we thought we were dependent on this guy. We thought, well, if Kane leaves, I think he went to Affliction.
Yeah.
Ultimately. We're like, if Kane leaves and goes to Affliction, like, we're going to be screwed because everyone's going to think like we suck because they'll think Kane left and went to Affliction, right?
Yeah.
And the reality was I think we realized that early. We did that with someone else and we thought the same thing and then it realized that it was worse to just be sitting here spending more money than we could afford.
Yeah.
And so then with Kane, ultimately we, you know, decide, hey, you go get as much money as you can. Your career's not gonna be that long and no hard feelings, blah, blah, blah. So we just go to breakfast and shit instead of
just hang out.
Instead of being sponsored. But he, so he went. And so then we realized, okay, at first we kind of moped around like, oh, that I guess we've already hit our peak, right? Because these fighter sponsorships are what are driving our sales. The most publicity we're getting is when guys wear the stuff. So we must have hit our peak. Then we said, well, let's go back to our roots of like, we did it once before. Let's pick a bunch of young, up-and-coming guys and let's see if we can do it again.
Yeah.
So we started doing it again. So one of the guys we picked is Conor McGregor, right? So he's just had... We start talking to him. He's about to have his first UFC fight. But that one, we didn't get a deal done in time. So he fought just wearing...
White shorts or...
I don't know if he wore Bad Boy or something. He wore something. But I don't think it was a sponsorship. It was just like, you know, a lot of guys in their first fight, they just wear stuff because they don't have a sponsor.
Yeah.
And then we got a deal done right after that. And so for him, he took off like an even bigger rocket than Kane, right? So now it was like... to all of Ireland and all the people that found it through that, they thinking that Dethrone is Conor's brand. So like, oh God. And so then we got to the same point again.
But that's a step further from Kane though. Well, you did develop Kane's logo, but you had that Irishman.
So that's logo.
That's what kind of put everyone
separate in. Issue. So with Kane, we would create a different shirt for him each time. So like that shirt out there, we would create a shirt and it was specific to his fight. And it was very like graphic driven. And we'd kind of take like the, you know, death Reapers looking, yeah. And death combined with like, you know, kind of a
sick shirt
Mexican flag.
Tattoo on my back,
kind
yeah.
of stuff. Yeah. And so we...
Dennis is taking off his shirt, guys.
Oh, so. Watch this, guys.
So our challenge was we'd sell a whole bunch of shirts when he fought. But because the shirt was so graphic driven and so specific to that one fight, between fights, we didn't have like a Kane collection, right? We'd make stuff. We'd make some like... we make some shirts that were more like Kane driven, but everyone really wanted like the walkout shirts.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, so it seems like in MMA, the shirts that would sell by far the best are the ones the guys actually wore, because it's like buying a jersey for a team, right?
Yeah.
So when Conor, we didn't deal with Conor, and before his first fight, he's like, you know, I love the Dethrone shirts. I love all the graphics and everything. I want one like that. And we're like, eh. We didn't say that, but we're trying to get away from that. We want something where we're jealous of these brands where they have a logo and they can just like keep doing it in different colorways and keep selling.
Yeah.
Right. And so we also thought the sport was going a little more like what was needed now was a little cleaner designs and less graphics all over. And we'd slowly been going that direction. When we started, it was like Koscheck was talking about the other day. It was like crazy, like foil stamping all over the shirt. And everything. And then it went from foil stamping all over the shirt to like more subdued graphics all over the shirt to like a big graphic and a smaller place to more like icon driven, right? So Connor's manager had said, hey, we like what you guys did with Kane. We want you to create a logo for Connor, right? And so Kane's logo had kind of been, I don't remember what it was, but it was some graphic that incorporated CV into it or something like that, Kane Velasquez. And so we said, okay, so we start brainstorming. And at the same time, we were looking through all our old shirts. So we had a shirt of, we had been working on design for Ben Henderson. Because we had a deal with Ben Henderson, and we were doing different shirts. And the designer, Zellner, had come up with, he's like, what if you took like the Fighting Irish guy, like from the Notre Dame logo, and made him look like, kind of like Polynesian looking, right?
Yeah.
Ben's not Polynesian, but he had like kind of like that look, right? So we're like, all right. So he came up with this cartoon, this like graphic of this guy that was supposed to be Ben. And we're like, ah, that's cool, but we never actually used it, right? So then, obviously with Connor, we're like, oh, the Fighting Irish. What about something like the Fighting Irish? And it was like, eh. But at the same time, we're thinking, what could we do that's like iconic, one color, get away from these like illustrations? And so I sketched this little stick figure, this little stick figure version of Fighting Irish guy, yeah, on a piece of paper. And I sent it over to my my buddy Ken, that I had known from AutoWeb. I was like, dude, I'm trying to make this, because we were also at the time, we're trying to, we figured business-wise, if we can make the graphics ourselves, this is better than having to rely on these artists to create all these illustrations each time, right? We have to pay them every time. Like, we need something we can manage ourselves. So I figured I could make a fucking stick fighter. But I couldn't quite get its, like, arms to look right, because the arms have to, like, cross over each other, but they're just lines. It didn't look right. So I sent it to Ken. I said, can you turn this into a fucking, like, take this, like, Fighting Irish guy and turn it into a stick figure. Like, but actually, I said, take the Fighting Irish guy, take the Dehui logo, which is a stick figure surfing,
yeah,
and give me the Fighting Irish version of that guy.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay. Like, send it right back. Sweet. So this is pretty cool. You know what? This is what fucking Connor should wear on his shirt. Like, we should have a collection around this little stick fighter, and he should wear this on his shirt, and we'll just put, so we just put Dethrone up top, the stick fighter, and then Stay Ready underneath. And then on the back, we'll put his logo, or we'll put like a little Conor McGregor in script or something. So we sent it over to his manager, and I said, hey, here's what we want to feature on Conor's shirt. This isn't like a logo, right? This isn't the logo as far as a logo we're creating for him. This would be a graphic that we would use on a bunch of products, but we want this to be the lead graphic on the front of Conor's shirt. So they had said, oh, we wanted, that's fine. Yeah. Connor really wanted, like, he was actually saying maybe something like the Jordan Jumpman. And they sent us this picture of like this photograph of him where they'd kind of blurred it out. So it looked like kind of like the Jordan Jumpman, but it was Connor like fighting, but more like photography style. Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, eh, that might be cool. But like for his first fight, let's just stick his signature on the back as his logo. I'm telling you, let's just put this fucking guy on the front with the throne above it and Stay Ready underneath. And it's getting close to the fight, right? So like, oh, whatever, well, so what you think? So we get back and they're like, we don't love it, but like, and Connor doesn't really like it. Like, he's confused. He likes your shirts with all the graphics. And he's saying, I love all the fucking shirts they have. He sent me a text message, right? Because they were getting his feedback on it. He's like, I like all their fucking shirts, except the fucking ones they keep sending me. And I'm like, I know, just trust me. This shirt will do fucking well. So he wears the shirt reluctantly. And as soon as he fucking starts doing the walkout, we're just like on social media and we put him on the website. It's just blowing up. Like, we're like, holy shit. People are like, this shirt is crazy. That graphic is crazy, blah, 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 blah. But he's the first person to wear it, and obviously. So it becomes associated with him, right? So we're like, that was awesome. So then after the fight, they're like, oh, I'm so glad we did that shirt. Like that, yeah, it's fucking great.
Yeah.
I know, I told you, it's hard to, but we knew it was going to, we've been doing this for a long time in MMA. We knew like this would be something cool.
Can I ask a question? How much did Ken get? What was his licensing deal for fixing the?
I sent him.
Like a Starbucks gift card or?
No, I think I asked him what his agency rate was. Which was something ridiculous, like hundreds of dollars per hour, like hundreds and hundreds of dollars per hour. And I think I sent him that.
Well, good.
Might have been half of that, because I was like, it probably took you fucking half an hour.
I did half the drawing.
But he...
He had to be pretty excited about it, though. I mean, like...
Yeah, so he was jazzed about it. Yeah. And then... So then we go down to meet... We've never actually met Connor. So we go down to meet Connor down in Irvine, where his manager's office was. And we hadn't actually met... The guy we did the sponsorship deal with was a guy at the management company, but it wasn't the, I guess, the main guy. And we didn't know. We just knew this was the guy we deal with when you deal with... When you basically you start reaching out to other agents, you go, hey, do you know who represents Connor? We're trying to get a hold of him. We've seen his videos and we think he's gonna, you know, he's got some good potential. If he gets to the UFC, we should be, you know, that's just what you do when you see a prospect. So buddy Robert Rivetta was like, you know, I tried to get his he's from Ireland, and so his coach was like interviewing people in America to be his manager, and I tried to be, but they didn't pick me. They picked this other guy. So I'm like, all right. So we reached out to that guy.
You tried to be Connor's manager?
No, this guy, Robert.
Oh, Robert. I was like, whoa.
So that's how we got introduced as manager. So we reached out to him. Story. And his name was Matt. And we talked to him the whole time. He's the only person we talked to. We went out and did a photo shoot with Connor in a hotel. And we went out to Vegas. And they had, they were filming a documentary following him around. So we went to lunch with him and did that stuff. And then... So after the fight, we flew down to Irvine, and the guy who we'd been working with wasn't in the meeting, but the new guy was, who was his, not the new guy, but I guess the guy who was his main manager, because, you know, at the time, someone calling to sponsor Connor in the stable of fighters wasn't like, you don't get the, I guess you, it wasn't worth the main guy's time. It was like, this guy will call you.
Yeah.
So we're talking, everything's great, and they're like, yeah, sure, it was awesome, and he's got a bunch of photos of it, and he's signing them for them to, you know, for whatever. And then as we're leaving, his manager runs out the door and he's like, hey, so I just want to talk to you about the stick fighter, getting that all signed over to us and everything. And I'm like, what do you mean signed over to you? He's like, well, our contract says that you guys will create a logo for him and he'll keep that at the end of our deal. I was like, yeah, that'll be like, well, I think we made someone said like CMC or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like we did for Kane. We made like some version of his initials and some graphic around it. And that's the logo. He's like, no, but we want the one on the front. We want the fighting guy. Well, we can't do that. And he's like, nah, that was the deal. I'm like, that wasn't the deal. Like, we've told you guys in the beginning that wasn't the deal. He's like, no, not, you know. He's a nice guy, but he's, you know, I think he was a lawyer. So he's like, that's not the deal. You guys are trying to change the deal. I'm like, listen, we'll talk about this on the phone, like whatever. I'm leaving, right?
Yeah.
I've never met this guy or talked to this guy ever before. I've only talked to someone else at the company. This guy was Audie, who's his main manager now. So then I'm like, okay. So I get home the next day and they're like, let's get on the call. And, you know, it's very combative. Like, hey, you know, this Audie's like, you were telling me yesterday you're not going to give us a logo. We have a deal that says you would get the logo. But I'm like, no, you have a deal that says we'll create a logo for Connor, like specific to Connor. Like, that'll be something like the CMC or something like that. I don't remember what we used in the first shirt. I think we just used a signature. That's what we used to do for Kane, right? It's always in the same place. It's whatever's on the back hit on the neck hit on the back. That's their little signature. We want that. I'm like, no. Well, you're going back on your word. This is going to be a problem. I'm like, is the other guy on the phone? Yeah. Can you show him your text messages? And so hold on a second. So then... Silence comes back, and okay, I wasn't aware of this. I hadn't seen these text messages before, so okay, well, yeah, let's get back to work and try to figure out another, see if you guys can come up with a logo for him. Okay. All right, no problem. Well, it's like end of that in theory, right?
Yeah.
And then we do, and then it's like, you know, a couple of months later, hey Connor really wants that graphic as his logo. Well, that's great. We want, you know, I don't know what, you know, so our deal, we had a licensing deal. We paid him, I don't know if it was per fight or per month, I can't remember. But then we also had to pay him a royalty on shirts sold with his name or logo on them.
Yeah.
So that shirt, he's getting a royalty on all of them because it says Conor McGregor on the back, the little signature. And they're like, well, anyways, he wants the logo. I'm like, dude, first of all, we're one fight into a deal. It's a 3-fight deal. Second of all, like, and I think he tore his ACL in the fight. Yeah, he tore his knee in the fight. So then I'm like, and second of all, we've already been over this, dude. Like, that's not the logo. We're going to use that for on a bunch of fighters. That's going to be like our whatever our, I can't remember what the name of the collection was. That's going to be another, you know, we have our regular, we have like three Dethrone logos already. That's going to be like our fourth Dethrone logo. It's the same way we saw like Dehui did it, and we've, you know, we like these brands like Ruka, where it's real simple and you just do things in different colors. That was the whole point.
Yeah.
We've already been over this. We sent you a text message when we first showed it to you saying, hey, this is a graphic. It's not a potential logo for him. This is a graphic we'll be using as one of our graphics. So I was like, okay. A couple weeks later, Connor was feeling kind of screwed over. He really wants the logo. It's like, fuck, dude. I mean, what do you want me to do? But this is the challenge, right? Because by the time you're now, Connor's popular, getting popular after this fight. And it's like, now he's in a position where people want to be associated with him. So, yeah. so do we. That's why we're fucking paying him, right? But it's like this weird shift now where he's like, well, the logo's known for me because I wore it. It's like, yeah, but like, you wore it because we paid you to wear it, you know? Like,
and you didn't,
you can make the same that argument that Dethrone, yeah, is known to people in Ireland because you wore it, but you don't think that you own Dethrone.
Yeah.
But in Connor's mind, that wasn't the case. In Connor's, like, the good thing about him is he's very ambitious.
Yeah.
Right? And you have to kind of be like, hey, I deserve everything, and whatever I want, I get, in a way, to get to where you are, especially, right? Fighters in general have to be selfish because they're the ones going out there, risk getting chance of getting knocked out in front of the whole world.
Yeah.
So they're generally, it's all about them. And they have a hard time sometimes seeing things that are not like that. But anyway, so he's like, this went back and forth for months, right? And then we go through another fight, and they just kept going on and on and on.
Yeah.
And then we're getting to the end of our deal. So now we're like, shit, people are going to think that, I think we did a second deal. I think we did a second deal again because he was hurt. So we basically said, hey, we'll just extend it and we'll just keep paying you. But then they would get like, okay, we want the logo. It's like, fuck. I mean, this went on for a couple of years. And it was like, dude, you can't have the logo. I mean, what are you, it's not even your logo. What are you talking about? We've been over this. So then at one point they're like, hey, you know, Connor's really upset. He feels like he's kind of getting fucked over here. Yeah. Like, he's not getting fucked over at all. Like, we have a deal where we pay him. First of all, we're paying him. Second of all, anything we sell that says Connor on it, we're paying him a royalty. And, like, the shirt he wore had the fucking his name on it. So he's already getting a royalty. It doesn't matter if it's a different graphic on the front. So, like, maybe you can talk to him. So I talked to him. And I'm, like, explained to him, like, hey, this isn't because we're trying to get out of the deal. It's just, like, this is our graphic. Like, we're paying you to have it. You couldn't have, you know. Like, if it don't, he goes, but I really like the graphic now. And I feel like I got kind of messed up because I wore it. And now everyone thinks it's me. They think the stick figure is me. And so, like, I feel like I should have it because, like, that's what everyone thinks. It's like, okay, there are a lot of people that think because you were the first one to wear it. They think, when they see that shirt, they think of you. But that's two different things. The reason they think of that shirt, they think of you when they see that shirt, is because we paid you to wear that shirt. You know, like, that's how endorsements work. You get paid to fucking wear or hold something, and people then associate the brand with you. This all worked out perfect.
It's a success.
We understand, right? So we go back and say, how about this? We'll pay you for the whole collection. You know what we'll do? We'll change our deal, okay? So it's best for us if we don't have to, you know, it's best for us if we can ride this wave and keep putting you in a shirt which has that graphic on it. But that doesn't mean it's your logo. You know, we'll put the shirt, so whenever you have a shirt, we'll include this graphic on it, and then we'll also have your signature on the back or whatever. You'll get paid a royalty on those. But here's what we're going to do. If you're okay with that and you agree to just promote the shit out of this collection, then we'll also pay you a royalty on anything we sell that's part of that collection while we're sponsoring you. Right? So that's way more than our original deal. So now there's something extra for it. Now you don't, because I figured maybe his concern was like he'd wear these shirts, he'd get a royalty on them, and then we'd make different variations of them and he wouldn't get anything, which we were totally within our rights able to do. But that was, so he's like, okay, cool, man, I appreciate it. So I'm like, okay. And actually, this wasn't even a verbal conversation. This was text as well. So I'm like, I go, okay. So then it's like, I send an email to these guys. I say, hey guys, just talked to Connor, explained to him why that can't be his logo and how we'd always said that in the beginning. But we agreed to widen the scope of what he'll get royalties on to that entire collection. He'll be the face of the Stick Fighter collection. So they're like, okay, appreciate it, man. Thanks. We explained the same thing to him. Let's get to work on a graphic for him and let's put all this behind us. Okay. Awesome. But then our deal comes to an end, right? And he's getting, because he's skyrocketing in popularity. So he gets to a point. Our last fight was the Dustin Poirier fight. So after that, he's about to fight for the title, but they don't know when. And Reebok, in the interim, Reebok comes in and gets an exclusive for UFC. So now there's no more. You can't sponsor guys to wear your stuff when they walk out during fights because Reebok, every single guy has to wear Reebok. So we're looking at it like, okay, what do we do? Like, we've got this guy. This is great. This is a great association. He's a great fighter. This feels like something we should continue doing, except he's not going to be able to wear it when he fights anymore. And that's when basically all the traction is on the three times he fights, and the rest is just extra, right?
Yeah.
And they're saying, oh, don't worry about it. Like, he'll probably be able to wear it, even though he wears the Reebok thing, and don't worry about it. Like, you know, he'll do a bunch of stuff outside the cage. And he could obviously do more than most guys could outside the cage, but it was like, okay. But then they wanted the, you know, in the course of negotiations, I mean, it's their job to get him the most money they can. They're like, hey, we're getting offered a lot of money. And so we want actually more money than you've been paying him for the next 12 months, even though he won't be able to fight in your stuff. And we're like, well, that seems fucking hard to wrap our head around. Like, hey, kudos to you for asking for that and pushing for that. That's what you should be doing. But like, can't you understand that, like, that doesn't make sense for us? So then it was like, you know, it's great. Like, we were, you know, we weren't friends, but we would text and talk. He went to Mexico with us. There's a picture that always goes around. We took him to the Raider game. We were like running on the field before anyone knew, you know, most people didn't know who he was. He had just fought. And it's funny to see, like, there's no tattoos and there's no all that stuff. But he, the negotiations just kind of, I guess they were just disappointed that they kind of thought we would just pay whatever, just to keep it going. And we were saying, hey, we probably would agree to this deal if he was still fighting. I mean, if he could still wear our stuff when he's fighting, but he can't. So we can't agree to this deal. And it sucks because now we're going through the Kane situation again, where someone's become completely associated with the brand. And you're wondering what the effect is going to be if that person's not associated with the brand anymore. The only thing is we've done it with Kane, so we're confident we'll find another, you know, we'll find another guy, but now we're going to have to probably go to another league because the UFC is done for 7 years. Nobody can do a walkout shirt.
Did you ever think about licensing the fighter back to him?
So what happened was our deal expired, and then he did a deal with Reebok, and then they took a different approach. They decided to just have lawyers call us. So they had lawyers calling us going like, hey, it's been explained to us that, like, you had an agreement. This was his logo. It was created for him. Connor started doing interviews saying, like, they said, like, hey, if you're not going to be dethroned anymore, what about, oh, don't worry, I'll get it back. I'm getting it back. I'm in the process of getting it back. And we're just sitting there going, what the hell? We haven't heard anything. And then we'd have, like, the lawyer just kept calling and just, I think the thought was, let's just enrage him until he gives in. So they should just call and yell at me and yell at me and yell at me and just do this, that, and the other and threaten these lawsuits. And I'd be like, dude, we have everything on text and emails. Like, I don't know what you want me to fucking do here. Like, we don't have anything to be worried about. We got our own lawyers. They reviewed everything and they said, I don't think you have anything to be worried about. They're not going to sue you. The only thing you have to be worried about is if they make it a court case, like, is there anything negative in the public eye? You know, will the opinion be like, will he be able to frame it like, oh, this brand screwed me over? So we were like proactive within that. If he would make a comment about, like, I'm getting my brand, my logo back soon and blah, blah, blah. And like, then we would put a post on the underground kind of explaining partially like, oh, really? What about, you know, but it was a pain in the ass basically because you have this lawyer calling you all the time. And she basically, near the end, was just like, you know, he just wants it. He wants it. He doesn't understand why he can't have it. I'm like, I don't understand either. Like, why he doesn't understand that he can't have it. And ultimately, I said, hey, listen, I've never had a situation in my life where if I just sat down and talked to someone, I couldn't figure it out. So, you know, tell him he has my number. Whenever he wants to talk about it, just fucking call me. We'll figure something out that makes sense for everyone, which is maybe we could have done some licensing deal back or some, you know, hey, we'll give you this in exchange for you doing XYZ. But the lawyer, I couldn't deal with. She just made me so mad every time. And the manager, I couldn't deal with because he made me so mad every time. And I just kept telling him, if this is so important to Connor, which I still don't know if it was because it could have just been it was important to them. If it's so important to him, all he's got to do is call me and we can figure it out. Like, we've had lunch before. We've had dinner before. We've hung out before. It's not like it'd be awkward.
Yeah.
Like, you know? And he, he's too busy. Yeah. He's too busy to call you. I'm like, what? Like, okay, well then it is what it, I mean, if he's too busy to call me, or they're like, oh, and then later they'd be like, well, he can't call you because he feels betrayed. It's like, well, if he feels betrayed, I mean, like any of these things are just excuses. If he calls me, I'm sure we can figure something out that we'll both be happy with, but that's the only way we're going to be able to figure it out.
Are you still waiting on that call?
Yeah. And then eventually, so eventually they called at one point and said, hey, we're not going to proceed with any kind of, we're not going to do any legal stuff. And it's like, yeah, because you don't, there's no legal case, you know? And I don't blame them. I guess they were doing what they should do. They had a client that was like, I want this.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he didn't want to talk about it.
Clients, Conor McGregor.
They're getting paid their legal fees every single time they pick up the phone and call you and enrage you. So
I don't know. So that was kind of like one of those things. You know, even before the Mayweather fight, they reached out and they were like, you know, can we talk? Like, here's some new ideas. At one point, they were trying to buy it. A couple times they tried to buy it.
They would call Dan, right?
They would call me and they would try to buy it. And one of them was still, while we were still doing good, the manager was like, what if I just buy the brand and from you? And then it was like, this is while we're still doing a deal. He was like, but I don't want to buy the brand. I just want to buy the one graphic. And then we thought, no, you know, if we're going to sell the brand, it needs to be the brand, not just start picking and choosing pieces of it to sell off. And then later they were like, what if Connor buys this off you? And I was like, the lady would just be so annoying. They were just getting these hypotheticals, like, well, how much do you want to offer this? I don't know. I could talk to Dan about it, but I doubt it. And she took that to mean, okay. So she called me. You told me before that we agreed to a deal. I'm like, no, I said, fucking, what do you have in mind? You know? So anyways, and then before the Mayweather fight, they called and they were like, maybe we could figure something out. And I would have probably done it just because I thought, like, it was actually a reasonable proposal. It wasn't like, hey, you owe it to me anymore. It was more like, hey, how about this? We'll do this for you. In exchange, you basically license this back to us, and you can carve out. We talked back and forth. It was basically if you were going to do something, Nick, what would you want to do? And I was like, well, here's what I think would work. And they thought, and it was like a very normal, civil conversation. And Audie was like, okay, well, here's what I think would work. And, all right, well, maybe we could do those. Yep, that would probably work. But then I said to my brother, like, hey, do you want to do it? And he's like, no, I've been fucking accused of being an asshole for like. These guys have been calling and yelling at us for fucking 2 or 3 years, telling us to fuck off and calling us assholes. I'm not doing anything with them. So I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Can I make that phone call? I want to make that call.
Dan probably made it.
So that was kind of where all that was. But anyways,
this is Dan. No.
That was a really long-winded version of basically saying the challenge again. And is the challenge, if licensing works really well, you become synonymous with the person or brand that you're licensing, which can be great, but it also, now you're synonymous with that person or brand, right? And so it can have has downsides. Obviously, a lot of people do really well with it. But I think it's probably, once you know what you're doing, you should do licensing deals. If your goal in a licensing deal is just to build your own brand independently, then it's probably going to make that a little murky.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, so that was that. But we haven't. That was all from 2 years ago. Yeah. But anyways, that was
licensing. Sounds like a pain in the ass.
Take notes, Dennis. Notes.
Are you going to scrap that from the?
I don't even want to do it anymore. I got to deal with lawyers and. Oh, Jesus. Never mind on that.
Well, it's like what Jim said earlier. Like when you get to when you just start dealing with licenses with like the NBA, they rightfully so, they want to protect their brand. Or a guy like Connor, who got or is as high as he is now, it's a similar. He just feels like he's at that level in terms of his brand, where he just can set the terms and whatnot.
Set the terms, right? Yeah. I mean, like.
And that's why I thought we could meet, was because I'm like, I'm not taking any of this. I'm taking it personally when a lawyer is calling me, yelling at me. I'm taking it personally when a manager who has already basically said in texts and emails that he understands not theirs is calling and yelling, saying it's theirs. But I understand why they're doing it. They're doing it because they're representing their client, and their client is saying, hey, I want this. And their client got himself to a position where people are willing to pay a lot of money to be associated with him. And all he's trying to do is leverage the fact that all this this imagery that did well before, right? Because mind you, before they started yelling at us all the time, they had done new shirts with Reebok or on their own. And I'm guessing, because we knew, right? If we tried other shirts, they didn't have the same impact that the ones with that logo did. So I'm sure they had the same experience where they unfortunately, they didn't want to, but they, you know, when they didn't have the logo, they tested other shirts.
Mm-hmm.
They probably realized, like, that shirt didn't do as well as it would have done if we could have just had this graphic associated with us. But the only way, all it really comes down to in the end is, like, you just got to, people just have to want to, you have to, even though you're supposed to, like, fight and scratch and claw for what you want, like, you just do it in a way where people, you should be able to argue and then afterwards be like, I always think, which is probably wrong, you should be able to argue and scream and yell at each other and then afterwards tease each other about it, right? Like, hey, we got heated in the moment, we argued about this thing, but that doesn't mean, like, we argued about this thing, we didn't argue about, like, am I an asshole or are you an asshole, right? Or like, we don't hold it against each other, it was just an argument.
Yeah.
And that challenge, I think, like, I don't know if it was ego or so many layers, right? As far as we know, Connor doesn't even fucking know that, like, his lawyers and managers...
Connor's still trying to get it back.
Like, as far as we know, he has no idea they were calling us, yelling us all the time, right? They might just tell him, oh, yeah, we reached out, they were dickheads, they didn't reply, and he's probably thinking, oh, what assholes, right? Or maybe he doesn't even know that they fucking... Maybe he thought they gave up and they were just trying to do something to really impress him. So that's the challenge of, like, when you have other people doing stuff for you that's, like, representing you. Same way as, like, a brand is, like, you're so careful of this, how this brand represents you. Well, it's the same thing when you have managers and lawyers and, I guess, in a company, salespeople. They're going out representing you the same way. So when Connor's lawyer is yelling at us, we're taking it as Connor's lawyer's yelling at us and Connor's yelling at us. When in reality, he might not be yelling at us. And then when Connor's lawyer says, no, he's not willing to meet with you, we're taking it that Connor's saying, I'm not willing to meet with you. When, who knows, maybe Connor's like, no one even ever asked me to meet with you. What the fuck are you talking about?
Late night phone call incoming.
So if you're listening, Connor, I'm still available for the sit down. So
he's got a comeback fight in the works.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Right. I mean, he's done amazing. Above and beyond all that, like, the shit he accomplished was in fucking sane.
Yeah.
And it's that same, like, confidence and, like, not taking no for an answer and, like, I want everything and I will take everything. They got him to where he is.
Yep.
So you can't fault him for, even if it's something where you're like, hey, logically this makes no sense. You can't just have it. You know that the fact that he believes he can just have whatever he wants is also the reason he got as far as he did. So it's just, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Is what it is. Always comes back to Max Holloway.
Yep.
So.
All right. Well, I guess follow us on Instagram.
That was a long fucking...
Yeah, it was.
Diatribe that just went on.
I'm getting sleepy.
Jesus. I was looking at the clock in the background. I'm like, oh, man, I started talking when there was a different number in front of the hour signal.
Yeah.
That's what Chloe's thinking right now, too.
Yeah, the dog's clawing out the door.
So if you want to follow us on Instagram, it's at... The Startup _ Addict, Twitter under The Startup Addict, and then YouTube. Who knows
at this point? I think it's the other way around. So what you said was Twitter is actually
Twitter's
startup _ Addict. Yeah.
Are these
at The Startup Addict?
Is this linked on the show notes? If I had to,
yeah, absolutely. All the time.
Website The Startup Addict, and that is it.
Episode
17. In the books.
All right. Go get a license. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. While you're listening to this, we are running around a square in Mexico watching soccer.
Sons of bitches.
Mexico.
Except for Dennis. He's at work.